I guess I can start off with a little thing, a little bit about me. This suit gets worn once a year, so you've doubled my annual suit wearing. I'm usually just a shirt and tie when I preach. So if I'm afraid to bring back videos of the sermons that I preach, if I show them to people in the church, they're going to wonder how you tricked me into wearing a suit. Number two, I'm probably the most competitive person you'll ever meet. And that's another one of those, you talk to some of the kids here, it varies as far as a board game, sports game, anything. I'm probably the most competitive person you'll know. But another thing that kind of conflicts with that is I really like to be liked. I like to be liked. I like people to have good thoughts of me. I like people to say good things about me. That is something I deal with, I guess. But in the process of doing so, I was kind of in communication with Mike and Brother Jim, and I was trying to talk to them. I was like, what should I preach about? I'm going to be here, and I was amazed at how many special meetings y'all have. I'm preaching 6 sermons this week. You guys are going to be about sick of me, and you're ready to go before too long. But I was asking, what should I preach about? What should I talk about? And then came the typical, this is kind of the lingo that pastors kind of throw to each other. Whatever the Lord leads you to talk about. Uh-oh, you're in trouble. And so I was kind of contemplating some things, and I'm struggling with this want to be liked. So I want to come up here, and I want to preach something that you like. I want you to come back tonight. I want you to come back tomorrow. I want you to come for the things that are going on. And so I'm struggling with this. I want to be liked. And then a couple weeks ago, I got a book in the mail. It's something I was looking at putting together, a retreat for some of our young kids. And it's a book called Not a Fan. And so I had no intention of using that book for this whatsoever, but in the opening, he talks about the reason he wrote this book. And he said that one Easter morning, he has one of those jumbo churches, and he's sitting in an auditorium that seats 5,000 people, and he knows that this coming Easter service, he's going to have a bunch of people that are going to, you know, they call them the Christers or Creasters, the Christmas and Easter folk. And he's going to say, how can I get them to have such a good experience that they're going to come back? How can I, you know, in a way, he's saying, how can I trick these people into coming back? How can I get them hooked? How can I get them to stay? How can I get them involved? And so he said he was sitting in his church and he was praying. God, what are you want me to share with these people? And so as I'm reading this in my, that little light bulb they always show in the cartoons, it clicks on. Oh, this, I need to pay attention here. And so he's going through, and he said that he opened up his Bible, and he opened up his Bible, and he actually opens up into John chapter 6. And he noticed, as he was kind of doing some reading, he was doing some things, he realized that Jesus, he preached a different sermon to the people he knew as compared to the people he didn't know. Because see, usually as a pastor, one of your main jobs as a pastor is to get to know your people. To get to know you, because you know, he knows you, he knows what you need, he knows what it takes to be spiritually feed you, and so he can give a sermon that's directed specifically and molded for you each week. Well, I don't know you that well. I hope by the end of the week I get to know some of you, and I look forward to that. Maybe next time if I come, I can give a different type of sermon. But he was kind of noticing a difference between the way Jesus spoke to people that he knew and people he didn't. And here in John 6, he meets a crowd, and this is when he feeds the 5,000, and he gets this big group of people. He feeds them, and then he goes away, and he comes back. And this is where this author picks up, and he notices that when Jesus talks to the crowd, he's not trying to keep them around just for the sake of staying around. He gets done feeding them, and then they come back for seconds, and Jesus knows what they're up to. He says, you're just here for your fill. You're here because you're hungry, but you're not here because you're spiritually hungry. You're here because you're physically hungry. You're here to get the bread that I offered to you in the miraculous way, and you think that I can be your meal ticket. You think that I'm going to come and I'm just going to feed you. But he says, no, I am the bread of life. And he talks about a difference between a worldly food and a spiritual food. And when the people heard this, most of them at first were saying, "This is too hard. It's too hard for me to accept that the way that I got to do this is to accept you as Christ, to accept you as Lord. It's too difficult." And then later down at the end of the passage, it says that many people turned away when they realized they couldn't just get by and get their fill. And I'm kind of scared that in a lot of our churches and a lot of things, these are people that are following Jesus. Hear you. I mean, so in a way, he's kind of talking to church folk. These are people that are coming to church and they're going to do this, but they're just there to get their fill. And I know a lot of times we got a lot of folks that will come to church because, well, that's what's expected of them. People will come to church because that's what their parents did, or that's what their parents want them to do, or they'll feel guilty if they don't. But in a way, he's saying you're just here to get your fill. You need to go deeper. There needs to be more there. You can't stay at that entry level. You can't stay in a worldly state. You need to go into the spiritual realm. You need to take it a step further. And so I got a little video here. If you can get that started, and then once he gets that going, I'll show you the video and I'll come back a sec. While we're waiting, you can flip over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3.
Good morning, Reagan. Good morning. Good morning, Madison. Good morning, Johanna. Good morning, Johnny.
People are always asking me why. Why do the same thing every year? Why not move on? But I say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Johnny?
Present.
I'm comfortable. I know the routine.
United States of America. And to the Republic.
And I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty popular around here. I do really well in sports.
No! No, not my house!
Well, I'm just very successful here. Why would I go and mess that up by graduating?
B-B-Boat.
I mean, in the first grade, I may not know all the answers.
D-D-Dog. E.
The hours are longer. I hear they don't even have nap time. I mean, I just don't see the upside. Then first grade leads to second grade, second to third.
It's really good.
Then you're in high school reading boring books with no pictures.
3, 4, 5.
But he was still hungry.
Next thing you know, people expect you to get a job and give up summer vacation. No, sir. I think I found my niche. Thank you very much. Home sweet kindergarten. Besides, I mean, what if I failed first grade? How humiliating would that be? Nope, just don't think I could handle that kind of embarrassment.
And sometimes letter Y too.
That was not a good choice. Very disappointed.
Kind of a cute way of putting it in perspective, but you realize, you look at that, and you can kind of laugh because you see how silly it is, right? No one could ever stay in kindergarten that long, right? But you notice sometimes in church, it's easier to get by pretending like you've moved on when actually your faith really still is in kindergarten. When actually you're really still just going through the motions. Maybe you're here still just to get your fill. And this week, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. I want to start in chapter 3. And Paul doesn't pull punches. He doesn't hold back. So at any point, if you forgot to bring your steel-toe boots, bring them tonight, because there's going to be some foot stomping potentially. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting, he opens up with the word brothers. And I like looking at that before I even get anywhere further. He kind of opens up and he illustrates that this is kind of a family. He looks at you, and when we call people in church, we can call them brother or sister, because we're kind of involved in a family. We're kind of here together. We're one another, and we're together. And this may just be me, but I'm going to assume that you might be similar. You talk a little bit differently to your family than you do everybody else, right? You know, if you're asking something of them, or you're kind of constructing them or trying to get something. You'll talk to somebody a little bit differently if you know them as compared to you don't. You're usually a little bit more kind and a little bit more. The way I like to look at it is I'm a little bit more forgiving somebody that I don't know. I'll let that slide. I don't know them, but when it's someone you know, you have the right to be frank. And so he's getting ready. He's gonna kind of rip them here in a second. So he starts off and he lets him know that we're family, we're close. I can be honest with you, right? And so the rest of this week, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Mere infants in Christ. How many of you have ever been told you're acting like a baby? That's a modern term of what just happened there. You're acting like a baby. You're acting as mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? Paul is talking to this church here. Paul was kind of the missionary that kind of walked around and kind of started up different churches. And he started up this church, and now he's gone away, and he's no longer there and actively with them all the time. But he still corresponds with them. And here's a letter that he writes to them. And he kind of opens up, when I first got there, I started to feed you the spiritual milk. I started to feed you, but you're still worldly. We still got a problem. He hits on the fact that there's two different types of Christian living. And note that. I'm not talking to the unchurched here. He's not talking to the unchurched here. He's talking to those in the church. And he's saying there's two types of Christian living. There's a Christian living worldly, and then there's a spiritual way. You notice in the passage here, three or four times he uses the word worldly. He saw that this group of people were still worldly, that they weren't getting it, that they weren't going the way that they were supposed to. He noticed that maybe like this man in our video, their faith is still in kindergarten. It's not where it's supposed to be. And so he said he felt that his preaching would be worthless. It'd be worthless for me to preach to you about spiritual things because it'd be a waste of my time. You wouldn't get it. You wouldn't understand it. And he's talking to believers. He's talking to believers and he's telling you, I can't tell you about spiritual truths because you cannot receive it. And it's not because they're not very smart. We're talking about smart people. They just couldn't get it. You could be full of knowledge but miss out on spiritual teaching. And so we kind of, at a point throughout this week, I want to get to the idea that we need to move wherever you are in your walk with Christ. You can be a member of this church, and I mean, I'm sure there's probably somebody here that's been a member of this church 60, 70 years. You can be anywhere in your walk with life, your walk with Christ, and you still need to grow. It's not acceptable for you at any point in your walk with Christ to stop learning, to stop growing. You can be the smartest person here and you're still required to learn. You're still required to grow. But I want to point out a couple things here that he picks out and why he calls them worldly. Why does he call these people worldly? And the first thing I notice here is he talks about that prolonged infancy. You're still infants. And so he came in, and I'm going to give you some rough time frames here that a commentary will tell you. Paul started his ministry in Corinth, and he began the church there in roughly A.D. 50. A.D. 50 is a neighborhood area about when he started this church, and then he wrote this letter about A.D. 56. So when he's talking to these people have been in church for 6 years. I mean, the common math, you know, we can say give or take, but we're talking about six years they've been in this, the 6 years they've been doing it. And I think in a way, he's kind of telling them, you should be a young man by now. But you're still an infant. After 6 years, you haven't grown. Is that not a problem? Don't you recognize? Don't you realize that you're in the same place that you were? Maybe because you're just going through the motions. Maybe because you're just getting your fill and not following through. And I was thinking, what's more delightful than a six-month-year-old baby? I mean, especially when they're not yours, because when they start crying, you can give them to someone else. When it's time for a diaper change, you can give it to someone else. But there's nothing more precious than a six-month-old baby, and they're precious and they're fun, and they can be difficult to manage at times, but they're beautiful, right? Now, let's take that six-month-year-old baby, and after 6 years, it's still a six-month-year-old baby. Do we not have a problem? Is there not something wrong? The only thing that can make that happen is if there's some kind of disease, if there's some kind of problem, the growth won't happen. Growth happens if you're going through things right. You can't stop a physical growth. My dad used to joke about it all the time. He used to say, I'm going to put a brick on your head. Didn't work, right? It's natural to grow. But sometimes in the church, it's not so easy, it's not so natural. And as Jesus was trying to explain to that large crowd, it may be hard. People understood that. This is going to be hard. How can anyone attain it? And a lot of people give up and turn away. But he's looking at these folks and he's telling them, 6 years and you haven't grown. That's a problem. Babyhood at the proper time is a beautiful thing. But if it's continued, it's a problem. Things need to change. You need to grow. So he's looking at these people and he's telling them, it's time for you to step up. It's time for you to be who you're supposed to be. You've been here, and each one of you can, you know, maybe this is your first Sunday and you're getting reamed, and I'm sorry. But I'm going to assume that most of you here have been here a while. Are you growing? Are you personally growing? Can you look back 6 years in your life and see the growth? Or maybe Paul is talking to you today saying, you're just not growing like you're supposed to. And you see, the difference, you know, when you look at a baby, there's certain things about a baby that you kind of run into difficulties with. Can you just leave a baby unattended for a long period of time? At all? No. Can a baby feed itself? No, it's expected to be fed. Can it change itself? No, it's expected to be changed. And sometimes in the same way you notice that with believers. And again, we're talking about people in the church that don't know how to feed themselves. And the only time they get into the Word of God is when they're at church, where their spiritual nurses can feed them. That's a problem. It's sad to hear stories of people that leave their Bible in their car so they don't forget it at church. I got my Bible with me at church, but it sits in my car the rest of the week and I never pick it up. You need to be spiritually fed. You don't eat a meal once a week, do you? No, in order to grow. I'm at the point now where I stop growing up and I grow out, so maybe the growth would be a good idea to stop. But in order to grow, we need to feed ourselves. In order for our bodies to function properly, we have to eat physical food, right? And we make sure, I don't miss too many meals, right? But how many spiritual meals do we miss? How many times do we not feed ourselves like we're supposed to? You look at spiritual infants. You know, they know nothing of a relationship with God, and they expect others to pray for them and expect others to go to God for them. They know nothing of service. Talk about the 20-80 rule in the church where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And most Christian people, church-going folk, allow other people to do their share of the work. That's prolonged infancy. That's prolonged infancy, and that's a problem. They don't know what it is to give. Maybe their time, their resources, whatever. And again, they expect other people to carry their load. Let other people do it. And so, as I try to challenge you, what is your reason for coming to church? Are you here looking for Jesus to give you your physical fill so that you can have your bread? Or is there more to it? Are you tying up somebody else who's having to spiritually feed you and pay attention to you and coddle you when you're at a point when you should be grown? And you realize that is a process. At no point do you take a newborn baby and you give it a week or two, and then all of a sudden you let it go on your own. You let the baby grow, and as it grows, it develops and it gets more and it does more. And I was telling it, you know, before another time, is that you don't give a six-month-old baby a steak, right? No, it needs to develop its teeth. And then let's talk, okay, well, maybe when they get their teeth in and they're 4 or 5 years old, you just hand them a big 16-ounce steak and say, here you go? No, most of you dads know what it's like to cut up your kids' food, right? You cut it up in small pieces so they can take it a little bit at a time until they can feed themselves, until they can handle the equipment to make sure they don't cut themselves. You cut it up in small pieces and you give it to them bit by bit. But you don't give it to them until they're ready. And here Paul is saying, I've been wanting to give you spiritual food, but I'm waiting for you to grow up. I'm waiting for you to move on, to get past where you are. You continue in the same pace that you are, and you continue doing the same things that you've always done, you've got a problem. Keep your Bible there in 1 Corinthians. We'll slip back over there in a second. But flip over to Hebrews 5. Here, almost the exact same thing is illustrated. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 11. He starts off, we have much to say about this. We have much to say about this. This is a recognized problem that people that are in the church are struggling growing, that they're staying still. It's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. Verse 12, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. You're still stuck eating the baby food. By now you should be the one feeding someone else. It's a point when we got to recognize and we've got to realize that we have to grow. We can't stay an infant forever. I like that little video illustration because he makes it clear. Why would I want to grow? Why would I want to move on? I'm going to have to go into an untested world. I may not know all the answers in first grade. I may have to do things I don't want to do. They've got boring books without pictures. I don't get a nap. Yeah, maybe if you get more involved in the church and you start growing in your spiritual walk, maybe you'll start being expected to teach, to give of your time, to do something that you don't want to do. But you have to grow. Refusing to grow really is not an option. You can go through the motions if you want, but that's not what we're called to do. Go back over to 1 Corinthians. He notices another problem. And in the midst of talking about their growth problem and their lack of growth, he talks about some other issues that are going on. Again, in verse 3, you are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? He's challenging these folks. He's challenging them. Are you not just like any other Joe? We are called to be known by our works. We shouldn't go just slip in. And I like to be able to, you know, my wife just graduated from LSU. She went back and got her master's degree. And I'm past the point of going to college. I've graduated a long time ago. But she would go on a night time, and on a big campus, I didn't want her to walk alone. So a lot of the times I'd go at night with her when she went to class. Well, I had about a two-hour time frame where it was still light out, and I could sneak in to a college. They had like a little ultimate frisbee game that played every Thursday the same time she had a class. So I was able to slip in. You know, all my times, it's kind of like flattering to hear, oh, what's your major? Yeah, I graduated 6 years ago. You know, you like that feeling. You like to fit in. But should I just completely fit in and not be different than anyone else? Because if so, that's a problem. People should, after a very short conversation with me, should know something about me and know that I'm not like every other man. I'm not just a mere man. I'm a God-fearing, Christ-following man. And I should be different. I shouldn't be mere. I'm called to be more than that. You are called to be more than that. You got to grow into more than that. You got to get over these problems that are going on. He talks about this, these people that are dealing with these issues. And what's even worse about this situation is not that they're just out there fighting with people. They're within the church fighting. They're quarreling amongst each other. You guys are on the same team, he's saying. And you're fighting against each other. This is a problem. I can't talk to you about spiritual things. You guys are stuck in the world, fighting and quarreling over things that don't go on. And that's a problem that we need to find in ourselves. If there's something in your life that doesn't belong, we've got to rid it. I know what it's like to have a temper, to deal with pride issues. We need to work on that. We need to overcome it. It's easy to say bad things about other people or to hear other people say bad things about other people and let it go. That's wrong. That's wrong. When you hold grudges against one another, I don't know how many churches are torn apart over things that happened years ago. Years ago. You talk to people that are, oh, I don't like that person. We have something that went back way long time ago. What happened? I don't remember, but I don't like them. That's wrong. We need to be forgiving people, loving people. That's works of a worldly spirit. That's works of worldly people. And we're called to be more than that. We're called to be above the worldly people and act so. We're not to be like mere men. Every bit of unlovingness in this world is a fruit of the world, not a fruit of the Spirit. And it's neat. He goes on later in the book of 1 Corinthians and he talks about spiritual gifts. You can be a person with spiritual gifts. You can be a person that is gifted in many ways. And you notice in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, all of this is meaningless without what? Without love, right? What does Jesus say to the people that come to him and say, but, I was prophesying in your name. I have never prophesied in my life. And a man, Jesus talks about a man that's going to come to him and say that I prophesied in your name. And he's going to say, I never knew you. You can have gifts, but if you do it without love, you can be gifted and still be worldly. We need to make sure that we cross over into the spiritual world and realize that Christ is the body. He's the bread that we need, the spiritual bit that we need, and our life needs to change over into that. We need to learn and grow and build up. We need to rid ourselves of things that don't belong. And if not, we're going to be grown men and women who are stuck in kindergarten. But it's not funny when it's real, is it? If that man was really still in kindergarten, would you still laugh? No, you know it's a joke. But the truth of the matter is that there's many, many men and women that are stuck in kindergarten with their faith. Many. Okay, maybe you've moved on a little bit past that. Maybe you've been in the church 10 years and you're only 2 years, 3 years along the way. Catch up. Catch up. Grow. Learn. Build. No matter where you are in your life, it's important that you learn these things. That you learn. Continue to learn. You continue to grow. Continue to build. Continue to rid your life of things that don't belong.